new GNC.
Now everyone wins.
3 minutes past the hour, 9 o'clock, Saturday morning, Coach's Corner coming your way here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us as we get ready to talk some swimming and some basketball with you here on the program today. As per usual, let's take a look at what happened last night and a peek ahead of what's coming up today. First of all, last night in high school boys basketball, one of the games you heard right here on KGYM, it was Jefferson coming from behind. Big fourth quarters, the Jayhawks beat Waterloo West last night, 78-70. Also last night in the MVC was Kennedy over Dubuque Wallerts at Kennedy, 65-57. Nice road win, a come-from-behind win for Prairie last night up at Waterloo East as the Hawks win at 69-62. It was Hempstead over Linmar, 71-50 last night. Xavier back on the winning track over Iowa City High, 57-41 last night. And Cedar Falls with a victory over, Dubuque Senior with a win over Cedar Falls last night by 4. Also, it was Eastern Valley over Cedar Valley Christian, 69-37. We'll talk about this coming up in a bit. Marion with a buzzer beater last night over Clear Creek Amana, 50-47. Also in the WAMAC was Center Point Urbana by 2 over Vinton Shellsburg, 55-52. South Tama got by Benton Community, 74-61. And it was Independence over Williamsburg, 53-49. Beckman gets by Central DeWitt last night by a score of 67-59. Western Dubuque, a 67-53 winner over Maquoketa. Mount Vernon, 20 better than Solon last night, 60-40. And West Delaware, big over Anamosa, 70-43. Girls basketball from last night. It was Linmar over Dubuque Hempstead by 2 up in Dubuque, 53-51. Also last night, Dubuque Wallert upset Kennedy, 55-52. Iowa City West over Washington, 77-43 last night. The other game you heard here in KGYM, it was City High over Xavier, 59-40. Jefferson fell in Waterloo last night, 62-41 to Waterloo West. It was Cedar Falls big over Dubuque Senior, 61-29. Prairie also a big win over Waterloo East, 77-29 last night. And Easton Valley got by Cedar Valley Christian, 70-50. In the WAMAC, Marion a win at home over Clear Creek Amana, 65-28 last night. Center Point Urbana all over Vinton Shellsburg, 81-17. South Tama with the victory last night over Benton Community, 73-59. Williamsburg beats Independence, 55-31. In overtime, Central DeWitt over Beckman, 36-34. Mount Vernon doubles up Solon, 56-28. West Delaware defeats Anamosa, 57-43 last night in the WAMAC. Women's basketball from last night, the Missouri Valley Conference. It was the two Iowa schools continuing to be first and second. UNI big over Illinois State, 78-40, and Drake all over Bradley, 93-60 last night. At Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, Dubuque over Cedar Rapids, 6-2. A Rough Riders on the road at Lincoln tonight for a 7:05 start. And in case you missed it yesterday, Zach Johnson with a almost made history yesterday, 9-under par 61 in Hawaii at the Sony Open. He's 10-under par through two rounds and seven shots behind Justin Thomas, who did set a record for the lowest 36-hole total in PGA modern history. Coming up today, wrestling. We'll start off with the wrestling. The Jayhawk Invitational going on at Jefferson, their annual 16-team tournament. And that will get underway in just less than an hour at 10 o'clock. Also, the Marion Invitational going on today over at Marion. That begins at 10:30. Washington is up at the Cascade Invitational, and that just got underway at 9 o'clock. Prairie in the two-day Geneseo Invitational. Kennedy is down at the Solon Invitational today. And Linmar, their annual long trip up to Esterville for the Esterville-Lincoln Central Invitational that just got started at 9 o'clock. Boys basketball, Xavier will host Knoxville this afternoon beginning at 2 o'clock. That will be at Xavier. And Washington will host Western Dubuque tonight at 6:30. A little bit of a sneak preview as far as the way the new Mississippi Valley Conference will look. Swimming, we'll talk about this here in a moment. The Jim Voss Invitational at 12:30 today at the Washington Pool. Kennedy is down at the Southeast Polk Invitational coming up at 10 o'clock today. Men's basketball, Iowa State and TCU. We've got that at 3:30 for you with the pregame on 1600 AM for a 4:30 tip-off. Also, doubleheaders coming up today. Coe will be in Indianola to take on Simpson. That begins at 2 o'clock with the women's game. Cornell is up at Ripon today, and that will begin at 1 o'clock. Mount Mercy is at Peru State, and that will be a doubleheader beginning at 2 o'clock. And Kirkwood at Southwestern for a doubleheader. That begins at 1 o'clock over in the southwestern part of the state in Creston today. So that's a look at what happened last night and a peek ahead of what's coming up today. We'll take a break, come back, and have the Coach's Corner for you. Coming up right after this here on KGYM.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Lamar's Insurance Company use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The independent insurance agent system. Discover the power of choice.
Call Millhiser Smith Agency today, your local Lamar's agent, or visit us online at millhisersmith.com to see how much you could save.
Are you set for more money and a better life in 2017, or is your job holding you back? If so, check out My Computer Career and start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 months, even if you have zero experience. On campus or live online, classes meet just twice a week. My Computer Career helped over 1,000 students start new IT jobs in 2016. You can join them. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
Saturday, it's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs as we bring you a special doubleheader. Hi, this is Scott Graham. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One crew for all the action. First, the Seattle Seahawks and Legion of Boom try to contain Matt Ryan and the Falcons' high-flying offense. Then, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots host the Houston Texans. The NFL playoffs are right here.
The NFL divisional playoffs, Saturday at 3 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM, presented by Mediacom. 10 minutes past the hour, 9 o'clock, Saturday morning, Coach's Corner coming your way on KGYM. We have Iowa State basketball later on at 3:30 on 1600 AM for you. At 3 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, we will have NFL divisional playoff football coming your way. Doubleheader today, as it'll be Atlanta and Seattle, followed by New England and Houston. And, of course, tomorrow they made the change down at Kansas City due to the inclement weather coming in. That will also be a 3 o'clock start for the doubleheader, with Green Bay taking on Dallas and then the Chiefs taking on Pittsburgh to follow that. And that will also begin at 3 o'clock coming up tomorrow. Plus, we have the Iowa State women tomorrow and the UNI Drake men's basketball games for you. So lots of football and basketball coming up this weekend here on KGYM. Coming up later on this afternoon, 12:30, over at the Washington Pool will be the annual Jim Voss Invitational swimming meets. And to hear to talk about that is Washington coach Chris Cruz, who I think it's a yearly occurrence because you got a nice morning off before the circus comes to town, right?
Exactly. Now, it's fun meet. A lot of great competition there coming in from the western part of the state. Waukesha South coming down from Wisconsin. They're one of the top teams up there, so it's always a real competitive meet. A lot of fun to see what all these kids can do.
Right, and it is, you guys point to this one, I know, each year. You'd love to win your own invitational, certainly, and named after Coach Voss, who still has his stamp on the program, I know.
Oh, absolutely. It's great to have Jim come over. He gets to hand out the awards to the kids, which I know is a real big thrill for all of them, and it's a lot of fun having him around and being able to honor him for all the tremendous things that he did for the program and for the school and for the community in general. We're very, very proud to have his name associated with it and be able to recognize him that way.
Yep. And any new teams, still the same field from what you had?
Yeah, pretty much. We've got Johnston coming in this year. That's a new team. They kind of altered their schedule to get out in the CIML, and so they were able to come in this year. I believe the last couple of years they've done something where they had to swim every team in their conference. It was a conference bylaw or something like that, and so we lost Ankeny a couple of years ago as a result of that, but this year we got Johnston in, and Cedar Falls had to back out last minute. They had some conflicts schedule-wise and were unable to field a team that they felt like would be competitive at this meet. So rather than bringing kids down, they just opted to back out. And, you know, that'll be fine. We obviously are going to miss them, but they've got a lot of good young swimmers this year also. But we've got a great field coming in, and it should be a lot of fun, very exciting meet.
Yeah, and that will get started at 12:30. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a little bit. And I would say, how has the season got off, the start to the season anyway? But, heck, you're almost getting ready and thinking about the championship season, aren't
you?
Yeah,
we're pretty much done. Conference season starts, conference championships, excuse me, start next Saturday, and then sophomore conference the week after that, districts and state. So most of our kids will start their taper on Monday for the district meet, and yeah, we're kind of getting down towards the end of things now. It's a real short season, which makes it, you know, challenging, I guess, to get the kids into the condition that you want them to be in and work on some of the mechanics that you want to work on and stuff like that when you only see them for a couple months before taper starts. But we've got a good group of kids this year. They've worked extremely hard all season long, and we're very much looking forward to what's going to happen in the championship meet season for us.
Yeah, and a lot of good things have happened so far. Well, first, you got Biff back, so that's good.
Absolutely. That was great meet for our kids last weekend. We took off drag for the first time this season, and give the kids a chance to kind of see how they stacked up competition-wise with one of the top teams out west. And our kids really responded to that. I thought, well, we had just a really great team performance overall. A lot of kids had season best times by quite a bit, and I think it gives the kids a little bit of a taste of some of the things that'll be coming here in the championship meet season for us once we get that drag off, back off on the yardage a little bit, and we were real excited about that. I know the kids took a lot of pride in that and felt really good about what they were able to accomplish as a team.
Yeah, and if people don't know, that's the traveling trophy with you guys in West Des Moines Valley that goes back and forth.
Yeah, they've had that for quite a while up there. I think 2008 was the last time we had it over here. You know, it's tough because we obviously want to make that a competitive meet. We want to do well against them. We want to do well this weekend also, but we really tend to focus our attention more on what's going to happen over the next 4 weeks in our championship meet season. And so all of our preparation and our planning and so on kind of points towards that as our first and foremost goal, you know, starting with state and then kind of working our way backwards in terms of the priorities for the kids. So, you know, it's a little tough, and they're obviously a real deep team out there, which lends itself to some really, really good dual meet teams that they can put together out there. You know, we won every event last weekend except for a couple, and still only scratched out a 2-point victory, so it's a real testament to their depth. But our kids really responded also. We had some spots where we could take advantage of some lack of depth on their part and some places where our kids were a little bit better. And as I say, our kids really rose to the challenge and did a really nice job.
Well, and how about this team this year for the Warriors? What kind of team you have for swimming for you this year?
Well, we're kind of like we were last year, a team that's been kind of a work in progress all year long, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all. But we started out the season. We had some nice dual meets, I thought, early on, gave some of our young kids a chance to be able to swim and compete at the varsity level. Last year, they didn't necessarily have that opportunity in some cases. But this year I thought they really have done a nice job since the start of the season, rising to that level and stepping up their practice habits and really improving on some things that were maybe a little bit more of a weakness last year. And so we've been real proud of the growth and the maturity and things like that they've showed throughout the course of this season. Just like the last couple of years, we've kind of taken our lumps a little bit during our dual meet season, but we're hoping that things will come together for us well at the conference and district meets as they have the last couple of years, and I think based on the work that I've seen so far with our kids throughout the course of the season that they're really going to do some good things, I think, at the end of the year, and you know, we'll obviously be ready for that.
Well, some guys that really stepped up. Cameron Kelly is kind of leading the way, has really had a great start to the season.
Absolutely. Cameron's a great kid. He's a very competitive young man, year-round swimmer, so he's someone who definitely knows what it takes to be successful at the highest levels. He's had an opportunity to travel to a bunch of meets outside the state of Iowa, which I think is really important for kids who want to be extremely successful, that they get a chance to get outside the borders of Iowa and compete a little bit and kind of see what's out there, not just even in the Midwest, but on a national level, you know, what swimmers are coming from. The state of Texas and from California and Florida and Indiana and, you know, a bunch of different places like that. I mean, there's all kinds of top-notch athletes out there, and there are a lot of good athletes in Iowa too, but I think it gives you a little bit different perspective when you get a chance to get outside the state. Cameron's had that experience. He's someone who's extremely self-motivated, always pushes himself, and has really done a nice job this year also kind of stepping into a leadership role as a senior this year. encouraging others on the team to rise to his level and to perform a little bit better, to think a little bit more in practices, things like that. You know, he's a great kid, and he's done a fantastic job for us this year. We're looking for big things from him over the next few weeks at the championship meets as well.
And only going to get better and better, hopefully.
We hope so anyway, yeah. I think committing to Minnesota before the season started was a big thing for him, to get that kind of off his plate and allow him to focus on the high school season. You know, he's done a really nice job. And then we've got some nice juniors too, and George Dern and Caleb Donalds have done a nice job. Kind of assuming a little bit more of a leadership role this year as well. Both of them are extremely talented swimmers, have the potential to be in the top three or four in the state, I think, in a couple of individual events, and so they're really helping us out as well this year.
Yeah, and then how's the depth this year's team?
Well, we're a real young team this year. Of our varsity group, we've got about half of the kids that are juniors and seniors, and the other half are sophomores, so we're a pretty young group this year. But as I said, the last couple of years we've had kind of a similar problem, I guess, during the dual meet season, and that the depth hasn't quite been there in those dual meets. And then at the end of the season, all that hard work that our kids have been doing, we can kind of see that pay off in the championship meets. We get the drag off, we back off on the yardage a little bit. And so we're kind of, you know, work in progress this year, just like we've been the last couple of years. But I really anticipate good things for us coming up, and you know, we've had some nice kids step up and really do some good things for us so far this season as well.
And such a big thing are the relays, and I don't know if you have them all set yet. You move things around, the puzzle pieces, if you will, and try to find the best set of guys to score points.
Absolutely, yep. It's been interesting this year. We lost Nick Solinier off last year's team, and so that. Took out a couple relay spots there, and you know, Nick was one of these kids who's a 4,600 freestyler and a 20.50 freestyler, and those don't just grow on trees, so it's difficult to find someone to replace kids like that. You know, you think about the individual events, and obviously that's really, really tough to replace also, but you need those kids to fill in on the relays. They're double points, and so it's something that's very, very valuable to have four kids who can swim those relays and swim them real well. And then we also lost Matt Jackson last year as well, who filled a spot for us in the medley relay, and Mitchell Anderson filled a spot for us in the sprint relay. So all those spots were kind of up for grabs this season. Zach Holker's done a nice job of kind of filling in that butterfly spot in the medley relay. James Breitbart's really come on along with Ethan Ford to help fill a couple of those sprint spots. And then when we put those kids with Caleb and George and Cameron in some combination, along with Jeremy Thronson, you know, we've got some pretty decent relays, we think, and a chance to do some good things at the state meet. And I'm not sure where all those kids are going to go necessarily yet. We'll figure that out over the next 3 or 4 weeks. As I say, after we get the drag off a little bit, we'll have a little bit better idea of kind of what we're going to do and have a plan going forward.
Well, how's the MVC been this year? Who've been some of the top teams? Is it as strong as it has been? Or
well, we're down, I think, a little bit this year. There were a lot of good kids that graduated last year. Dubuque Senior's been real strong over the last couple of years. They graduated a huge senior class last year, and a lot of their sprinters were in that big senior class. So that really, you know, that's about half of the races when you're talking a district and state meet. You lose three sprinters. You're going to lose not only the kids in the 50 and the 100, but you're going to lose a medley relay spot or two. You're going to lose a couple, three or four spots in the sprint relay, and you're going to lose three or four spots in the 400 free relay too. So that's a big chunk of your team. Iowa City West obviously lost some great swimmers last year, but they've still got a real deep team this year. They won't be quite as top-heavy at the state meet as they have been in the past, I don't think. Oliver Martin obviously is still a force to be reckoned with, and we'll score some great points for them. And they've got a couple other kids, I think. Freshman Isaac Hayek will do a nice job for them, I think, at the state meet also, but maybe not quite as strong at the top as they have been in the past. And after that, Linmar's got a real nice, real deep team as well. A lot of kids out there. Obviously, that new facility helps them an awful lot, and so they're going to be real, real strong, in particular at the conference and the district meets, I think. You know, and the rest of the teams have been doing a nice job also. Dubuque Hempstead's got some good kids coming back from last year's state meet team, and you know, so there's a lot of good competition out there, I think, and it'll be interesting to see how things shake out over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
And pointing ahead in the districts, of course, to keep the string alive, and you'll have to go to Linmar to do that. They'll be hosting it, and you'll see a lot of familiar teams, I know, when you get there.
Absolutely. It's basically our conference meet minus the Iowa City schools, and we add in a couple schools like Decorah, and I believe Fairfield's coming up, Vinton-Shelsburg, things like that as well. So be a real real competitive meet. There's a lot of great coaches here in the metro area and up in Dubuque that do a great job with their kids. There's going to be just a ton of time drops, big time drops all across the board out of the teams that are there. So it's going to be a very, very competitive meet, and we'll have to make sure we're ready to go that day.
It's a fast pool, I hear.
Absolutely. Great place to swim. We're very, very fortunate to have that facility here in our area. We went down to Iowa City for a couple years before this complex was built, and Mercer, you know, is a nice place to swim also, but here's a little closer to home, so we like that, and a little bit better pool even than Mercer is, and you know, when you look around the state, there are a lot of really, really nice facilities around right now that teams have the opportunity to compete in at the district meet, and you know, I think sometimes we see a little bit faster times maybe even at the district meet than we do at the state meet, and you know, that's a little unfortunate, I guess, in some respects, because the kids that peak for that state meet maybe don't get the opportunity to swim their fastest times, but everybody's in the same pool at the state meet, too. It's not like it's a qualification thing, so it evens out in the end.
Yeah, and maybe a few more butterflies, too, at state.
Just a few, yeah, absolutely. It's a big-time pressure meet, and it's always interesting watching. You know, we've got some great freshmen have had over the last 3 or 4 years, and you know, they've swum in big USS meets and gone around the country and stuff like that, and yet the pressure of the state meet here in Iowa still gets to them. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and still, again, down at the University of Iowa again this year?
We're actually over in Marshalltown.
Down in Marshalltown, yep. Okay.
We've been there for the last, oh gosh, must be 10, 12 years, someplace around there. It's been a little while since we've been over there. State really likes that facility. Some of the coaches kind of squawk about it a little bit because it's not an entirely deep water pool, and so you know it makes it a little bit tougher in some respects, but it's a great spectator facility, and as I say, the state likes it. It's centrally located. It's easy for them to operate the meet over there, and unfortunately, depending on your perspective, I guess, there's not any plans, I don't think, to move that.
Yeah, still like to have it back at the University of Iowa.
We would too. You know, we loved the field house when it was down there. I mean, that was, they swam that in the deep end down there, and it was for our purposes an incredibly fast pool. All that deep water down there really makes it a nice place to swim, and obviously the new facility is even nicer than that. So we'd love to see it down there, but the almighty dollar sometimes speaks kind of loud.
Yeah, sure. And logistics might not work out, yeah, too. University probably wants to use it as well.
Exactly.
When they get down there. And yeah, but good things in the offing anyway. And the meet today, kind of some of the specifics about it and what people can look forward to seeing.
Well, definitely the meet starts at 12:30. As I mentioned before, it's going to be a real competitive meet with Johnston, West Des Moines Valley. Ourselves, Waukesha South, and Bettendorf, you know, you're looking at some teams that'll be probably 3 or 4 teams that'll be in the top 3 or 4 at the state meet this upcoming year, either here or in Wisconsin. We'll start a little bit before that with a little presentation of Coach Voss and recognition of him and all of his accomplishments, and the meet should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And, yeah, Waukesha is always a very a strong program.
Absolutely. It's very tough for them to travel down here, I think. You know, when you travel for a day and then you're not sleeping in your own bed and stuff like that, we don't quite see the times out of them that we see when they're in their own place or, you know, later on in the season. But they're a great team. They've got great depth. And we're really, really happy to have them come down here and kind of show us what swimming is like in the state of Wisconsin as well. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
We can hold our own, though.
Absolutely. You bet. We'll do just fine today.
Hey, I should get a call out to your assistant coaches, your staff that's helping you out at Wash.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got some great assistants over there. Megan Lewis has been with me for 14 years now. This is going to be her last season on the boys' side of things, but we sure appreciate everything that she's done to help out our program over that time. Randy Ironside's been with me for a couple years longer than that. Started basically almost after he graduated from Wash, helping out with our program, and he does an outstanding job also working with the kids at the JV level and kind of getting them ready to be able to perform at the varsity level. Has great relationships with the kids, great rapport with them, and we're really thankful for him and all that he does as well. And then Matt Sinnott hasn't been there quite as long as the other two, but again, he's pushing, I believe, 10 years or so now that he's been with the program also, and again, someone who really does a nice job teaching with those JV kids and again, getting them ready for the varsity program, and also helps us out a little bit at the varsity from time to time if one of us have to be gone for another commitment or something like that. And so Matt's done a great job for us as well and really grown into the position, I think, and we're very, very fortunate to have him as well. And then we've got a great group of volunteer assistant coaches as well that come in and make it so that the kids don't have to listen to me yell at them quite so much. But we really appreciate all their help as well. Chris Tyler, Ryan Phelan, and Spencer Stevens are all helping us out in that regard this year. And so we're very, very fortunate with all the people that we have.
Well, and a lot of former Warrior swimmers, too.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that speaks highly of the program. You know, the kids believe in it, and they want to come back and help out and give something back to the program. And that's something that's, you know, I think it's a testament to what we're doing. And as I say, we're very fortunate to have them back. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think I saw in there a young man by the name of Cruz.
Yeah, we've got we've got one of those there, and another one on the way, I think, next year as well. So I've really enjoyed having Tyler as part of the program over the last couple of years. It's been a lot of fun being able to work with him and help him, you know, grow and develop a little bit as a swimmer. And he's really, I think, enjoyed the program and enjoyed being a part of the group that he's been with. His talents are certainly in the musical field, but he works extremely hard in the swimming pool as well and has done a really nice job.
Well, and it's nice to have just, you know, coach your own out there. Just
absolutely. Not too much, but but a little bit here and there, yep. And we can talk a little bit at home and stuff like that about some things, too. So.
Absolutely. But that's always a lot of fun.
You bet.
And I know
it's been a great time. I've really enjoyed having him, as I say, on the team.
Yeah. Well, 12:30, it gets started, and invite everybody to head over to Washington this afternoon for the Jim Voss Invitational. Always a good meet over there. And only thing that would make it even better would be diving, but that's not going to happen.
And that depends on your point of view also.
The board's there, though, still,
right? The board is still there, yep. We haven't even taken it down from the girls' season, I don't think,
that's
yet.
That's true.
So.
That's true. They get to, well, that's a whole another hour.
Exactly.
So, well, Chris, appreciate it, and best of luck coming up today and then later on throughout the season to the Warriors.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you having me out this morning, and we appreciate all you guys do for high school sports.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and have more of the Coach's Corner. So stay with us. More after this here on KGYM.
No lizard or TV personality or bespectacled professor. No stage, no set, no facade. Insurance isn't entertainment. It's something you need to keep a bad thing from turning into a worse thing. That doesn't mean it has to be all stone-faced and serious. It can come with a kind, smart person who answers the phone or an email or even comes to your home when you need them. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Man, it's cold here in Bristol, and these cold winter months really take a toll on my hands. They get so dry and cracked, they look bad and don't feel great either. Luckily, there's O'Keefe's Working Hands. What a difference it makes. O'Keefe's Working Hands repairs extremely cracked, dry hands, and it's America's number one selling hand cream. They even guarantee you'll love it. And now they've come up with O'Keefe's Lip Repair, which provides all-day moisture in one use. You'll wish you had known about this stuff a lot sooner. Learn more at O'Keefe'sCompany.com.
AutoZone presents your engine's antifreeze. Cooling system failure is the number one cause of engine-related breakdowns. Keeping your engine running cool starts with engine coolant. And during the winter, it keeps your engine from freezing up. Get a gallon of Peak 50-50 Long Life antifreeze and coolant for $7.99 after mail-in rebate. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many of the nation's top plans, Walgreens offers copays now as low as $0 on select plans. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, which means you could be saving big. So switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics.
9:31, back with the Coach's Corner here on KGYM. Iowa State and TCU basketball coming up at 3:30 today with a 4:35 tip-off down at Fort Worth. That'll be on 1600 AM. Playoff football coming up on 107.5 and 106.3 FM later on with the doubleheader starting at 3 with Atlanta hosting Seattle, followed by the New England Patriots taking on the Houston Texans. Basketball resumes on Tuesday night here on KGYM. We'll be over at Marion for the Indians and the Independence Mustangs at that time. And Mike Mandershy, the head coach of the Marion Indians, joining us here in studio. And after a drama-filled night in Tiffin, it's always, you always have some sort of a strange occurrence when you guys in Clear Creek Amanda get together, don't you?
We do, and it's usually down at their place. There's been some just crazy finishes down there, and last night was no exception.
Yep, and came down to the wire, 47-47, and Alex Whalen hit a big one for you to get a three-point win at the end.
Yeah, Alex had a really nice night. I think he had 18 points. I think he was 4 of 9 from the three. He had a really nice night. Kids were down, I think we were down 8 with 2-something to play. Went on 11-0 run, up 3 with 30 seconds left. They ended up banking a three-point top of the key to tie it with 6 seconds left. We got a shot off, obviously didn't hit it, and then were able to pull away with one that you don't draw up, but it went in, and we're happy, and we're going to take it.
So that wasn't the actual play that was called, huh?
Yeah, it was not the play. We did anticipate them going 1-3-1 coming out. We just never got anybody to where it was supposed to be, so it's better off to sometimes be lucky than do what the coach asks you, I guess.
It all worked out, I guess, for the Indians last night. And you were down 8. Obviously, things went well in the last couple of minutes anyway. And did you pressure? Did you create some turnovers or just hit some big shots? Or how'd it work?
A little bit of everything right there. You know, we get a running cut down the lane. Alex Whalen, get him a feed to get 2, go down, get a steal, come back. Get an O-board, Trevor Paulson gets an O-board, puts it back, down 4 at that point. Go down, I think they miss a 1-1. Come down, Jevin hits a 3 to put us down 1 with a little over a minute. Steal the inbounds and call timeout, and Alex hit a 3 to put us up 2 with about 50-some seconds.
Yeah, all that in about a minute and 10 seconds.
Yeah, it really was pretty quick, pretty fast pace, and all of a sudden you go down 8 thinking, well, we played hard, you know, we got to do some things. All of a sudden, hey, we're up 2, let's, you know, do what we need to do. So in the end, it all works out.
Well, and it was tougher, I think, still, because you had a back-to-back. The game on Tuesday night was canceled for good or for bad, and then you had to play the rescheduled game Thursday night against South Tama, really good team. You did get to host it, though, and so you had 2 games in a 24-hour span.
Yeah, and it comes down to that. We didn't really want to stack the South Tama game somewhere. We have an opening, but we would have played them like 3 days prior to playing again. We didn't want to do that. South Tama's really athletic. They are really athletic, quick. We played really well defensively, stymied them a little bit from the inside out. And then, you know, Clear Creek went up and played Indy too, so they were playing on a back-to-back night. And Clear Creek's, they're coming along. They really are a very good, solid team. They're a tough matchup for us. They don't have much more size than we do, but they have a little bit more size at the guard play. So it was a nice win for us going back-to-back. We got a few more back-to-backs here coming up, so anytime you have to do that, I think you have to prepare yourself and go through those situations because the turnaround's pretty quick. And, you know, you beat South Tama, top team in the league, and then you got to turn around and play another game and get ready so the kids don't have time to enjoy the win. You're saying, hey, get back in. Let's get our scouting report stuff and get ready to play again. So kids did a nice job.
Well, and it's interesting because the South Tama win was such a big win, but then it doesn't mean a whole lot if you turn around and give it away last night. So it would made even more meaning to get both wins on the two nights.
Yeah, it does. It does. And like I said, Clear Creek is coming along. Brandon Club, new coach down there, is doing a great job with his kids. His kids played really well last night. Didn't handle the pressure down in the last few minutes. But, you know, a 16-, 17-, and 18-year-old, sometimes that's tough to be up 8 and know you have it in your grasp, and all of a sudden you have a turnover or missed 1-1, stuff like that. Pressure situations kind of create some of that at times. But, you know, Clear Creek really is doing a good job down there.
Well, it's a team that you have this year. You know, you take a look at the stats, they're not going to wow you. You take a look at the program, it's probably not going to wow you too much, but they play hard. It's got to be fun to go to practice with these guys because they they do work hard, and boy, they play defense too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, our defense coming out of break really has improved a ton. We gave up, I can't remember, to Beckman coming out at Beckman. I think it was low 50s. And then we went 48, 43, and 47 last night in overtime. So we're starting to really dig in on the defensive end. And we're not slowing it down. You know, last year we were a little bit different. We played fairly solid defense last year, but we had to slow it down last year because of personnel. This year we're trying to play a little bit more up-tempo and get up and down the court, so it's not like we're taking 30, 45 seconds off the clock at times in doing that. So defensively we played really well. Offensively we're still really starting to see some nice things from some players. Got a little work to do in terms of a few fundamental tweaks here and there. Post play is starting to come along, but you're exactly right. If you look at our stats, there isn't anybody that's getting 16, 17, 18 a night consistently. And we knew that coming in. We said, hey, you know, this is how we are. This is what we're going to do. If you guys buy into what we want to do, I think you could have a pretty special year. And so far, they've bought in.
Well, I think the fact that, yeah, you got to buy into that thing. And no one's going to be that big-time scorer. But you got, I think, five or six guys between like 5 and 10 points. So you don't know who's going to step up like Alex Whalen did last night and ended up with 18 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're tough to prepare for because you don't have one or two guys that you can key on, not even from the perimeter or from the post. You get a little bit of a mix with everything, and you got to say, okay, this guy can do this, this guy can do that. Some of the times the teams that give us a little bit of fits at times are teams that are built like this. When you got a little bit of everything and all of a sudden, you know, Alex goes for 18, you know, Chase Zilke might go for 18, you know, Baylor Fish has it in him. He can go for 16, 17. It just, you know, Mitch comes out last night and he has 12. So, it's a nice balanced team. And I think they're really starting to figure out that, you know, whatever the scoreboard says at the end of the night, that's the main goal. And whatever I do to help that is a bonus.
And you mentioned some of the guys like Baylor Fish, one of the seniors playing for you out there. And we've had a lot of the Fish family out there playing for you. And I think Baylor's been up for 3 years. And it's good to have that guy that's the primary ball handler for you that's been around this WOMAC conference that long.
Yeah, Baylor's done a nice job. He draws the other team's best perimeter player night in and night out. So we ask a lot of him on the defensive end. And then we just basically kind of said, you know, be our leader. You know, take care of the floor, do the things that the coaches are asking, make sure that the locker room's the way it is and the way it needs to be, people are in the right spots. And then, you know, in practice, just be a little bit more vocal. He probably needs to step up just a titch on that end, but he's done a nice job of making sure that he's our senior leader. He's our captain. He's been around. He's 3 years now for us. He knows the way things need to be done, and he's done a great job.
Yeah, and you got into seniors to go along with him. Obviously, maybe that aren't popping out as far as the stat sheet, but they do their part in helping the team.
Yeah, Mitch Weiss is our other senior, starting senior at the five. Mitch is doing a better job of becoming more and more and more aggressive. You can start to see that in the last 3-4 games. That's really, really helped us. Takes a little bit of pressure off our guards and our perimeters to not have to do all the scoring. You know, he's 6'6". He's a big kid in there. He's averaging 6.5, 7 boards a game. He's had a couple games in double figures of going and getting that. And as he increases his aggressiveness, better things are going to happen. Isaac Hahn has seen a little bit of – he's another senior for us. He's seen a little bit of playing time throughout the year, done a nice job, great kid. And then Chase Wood is our other senior. He's hurt right now. He's got a – he tried jamming a basketball about the first week of practice and broke his wrist. Chase is a good kid. And, you know, he'll be back working hard for us. And just leadership, you know. You're going to go as your seniors go in terms of leadership. So as our seniors do a good job down the stretch leading us, that's where it's going to where it's going to take us.
Well, and with that being said, I think the future looks pretty good because Chase Silke up there and Alex Whalen and your son Jevin and certainly Matthew Brazzi, Trevor Paulson, people like that. You got a good foundation of the underclassmen there.
And those are all underclassmen. So, you know, you go Chase Silke. He's a second-year player now, so I always treat him. I tell him, you know, you're a senior, and then next year is your bonus year, your fifth-year senior type thing. Alex Whalen's done a nice job, great spark plug. Kid plays hard, and he sticks his nose in there. He's about 5'8", and he sticks his nose right in there and gets a lot of steals and rebounds and rips things away. Jevin's done a nice job for us this year. He'll continue to grow and get better and do some things with the ball handling. But he's done a nice job at times, especially from the perimeter, shooting it pretty well, a little bit better than me or older brother expected. And we've had those conversations. You know, Matthew Brazzi does a nice job. He's a true one. He's done a nice job coming in and playing as a sophomore. Trevor Paulson's starting for us now. Trevor does a nice job on the boards, plays hard, defends, gets after things, needs to take care of a little bit of shooting, especially from the foul line, but he knows that. He'll continue to work and get better at that. Good athlete. And then you go Isaac Keener and Grant Meth. They're our backup 4 and 5 coming in off the bench. After break, we've really started kind of rotating post to post. When they go in, they play extremely hard. They're getting better. Grant was out last year. As a sophomore, he had Achilles surgery, so he's a junior, but he's playing sophomore minutes in terms of where he's at developmentally. Isaac Keener's really good in the post, got to get a little bit more confidence in himself. And then we have Mason Ray and Ja'Cory Higgins, both sophomores. They don't see some varsity minutes at this time, but they come in and they practice about an hour with us every day. And that's really, I think, benefiting them because you go down then and play in a sophomore game and go to sophomore practices, the speed of the game is completely different playing with us versus going and playing with them. So we really do have a lot of underclassmen that are getting some valuable experience this year.
Well, and the one thing that you guys have done well, you shoot free throws really well. And Trevor's going to get it. He's got too good of a shot and too good of an athlete. But you kind of toss his stats out of the way, and you're probably about 70-71% as a team. And, boy, that helps.
Yeah, it does. You know, we were 1 of 5 last night, ironically. And we only shot 5 free throws in the last 2 minutes.
No, that's the road.
So, you know, but, you know, against South Tama, we were 12 of 16. We do, at times, the right people going to the right line, knocking them down, have some pressure situations. Our post step to the line, knockdown. I mean, again, it goes back to what we've said all along. You can't key on one guy inside, you know, 2 minutes. If we're leading with 2 minutes and we go to the foul line, I'm very comfortable going to the foul line and knocking down shots. And then we can go offense for defense situations and sub like that if we need to.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned to Jeff Johnson after Thursday night's game that the WOMAC is just a mess on the Western Division side of things right now. And it is a mess. It is a jumbled mess. And it's going to come down to the last night. We know that. There could be 3 teams tied. There could be a solo. Who knows what's going to happen when this thing is done?
Benton and Vinton getting beat last night drops them to 2 losses as well. I think there's 5 teams with 2 losses now on our side. And the next 3 weeks are going to be wild. You have to like it. You have to enjoy it. I hope our kids embrace it really well and say, you know what, this is fun because it's going to be a little bit of pressure basketball at times. It's going to get you ready for the postseason. Yeah, you're going to have to dig in and night out. I remind our kids all the time in our league, there are no nights off. You know, there just isn't. You have to bring it every single night. There isn't a slouch team in our side or the other side that you can just say, you know, well, we can roll the basketballs out and we'll get through this one. It's not. You got to bring it every night, and the next 21 days are going to be amazing.
Well, and fun to watch, certainly. I don't know how fun it'll be for the coaches, but
yeah, you know, you embrace it. You get a little bit of stress, but you never get too high and you never get too low, and you got to keep reminding yourself that, you know, we come out and, you know, classic examples against Beckman, we go up there and we really did not play well in the second half, and I didn't even want to take the stats. And Jacob was home, and I said, hey, you watch the game and tell me the stats, and I'll put them in. And you just remind yourself, don't get too low. You know. And then when you come back from something crazy like last night, don't get too high. Just kind of ride the wave and keep everything in perspective, and it'll all work out in the end.
Well, you've seen everybody now. You're at the halfway point, and you start the second go-around coming up on Tuesday night against Independence. And it's a two-point game up there at Indy in the new gym up there. The first time around, Independence getting the win 41-39. And Matt's done a great job trying to get that program turned around, and they come to your gym Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's Indy's really has improved. They're really deep. They play 10 guys easily. They might have shortened that to about eight or nine now. But early on, they were playing about 10 guys. Do a good job of fundamentals. Their fundamentals are really solid. Get in and try and defend as best they can, and then run their stuff extremely, extremely well. So, it's another tough game that you got to mentally prepare for and be ready to go.
You expect another low-scoring game, more than likely?
I don't think it'll be as low-scoring as it was last time. I think it was upper 30s last time, 41-39, something like that. I think both teams are a little bit better offensively than what they were that night. We didn't have one kid that night that had two field goals. I mean, we had like six kids that each had a field goal, and, you know, we had a few points from the line. It was just one of those nights where things weren't falling, and we had to dig in, and we had a shot to ice it with some free throws that we missed big. So I think you're going to look probably both teams in the upper 40s, lower 50s probably situation.
And you got to be happy with 8-4 start, though, about a little bit more than the halfway point right now.
Yeah, 8-4 is not bad for us. Played a lot of seniors last year coming back. Baylor started for us last year. Chase started for us last year. And then Mitch started off and on most of the year for us last year. So we really only had three kids coming in with any varsity experience. And then I knew we were going to rely on a lot of junior and potentially sophomores. And it's held true to both of those coming in and having to play. And it takes you a while to get that going and get that feel of what varsity basketball is. And again, the speed of the game, and you can simulate kids and you can say, hey, the speed of the game is going to change. But, you know, until they're out there, until they experience it enough and get into it, it takes a little bit.
How about the lower levels? How's that going so far?
Our freshmen and sophomores are both undefeated at this point. Kyle Von Baron came back. He helped us last year at the varsity level, and then he filled in and took the sophomores back. He originally was there when I first started. He's done a great job. I mean, they play defense. He's constantly hammering them on the fundamentals. He is preparing a lot of kids for playing varsity or potentially playing varsity in the next year or two. He's done an amazing job. Henry Martinson is our freshman coach, placed Sam Elgin, and Henry's done a great job. You know, we've got some really good athletes that are freshmen coming in and playing. They play hard. They play aggressive. They're not afraid to get after it. They'll run. So both our freshmen and sophomore teams are really doing well, and I think a lot of that attributes to those two coaches.
Still looking for that 6'8 guy, though.
You know, Mitch is 6'6, and he's legitimate 6'6 because I actually measured him. But, this is the biggest team we've had, and we're still, you know, in the 6'3 to 4 range with a couple kids. And I guess in Marion, we're just never going to get a 6'8, 6'9 guy that come through.
Yeah, that's what happens, though. You take and you work with the cards you're dealt.
Yeah, maybe somebody needs to start taking in a foreign exchange student or something.
And get to 6'10", but they just want to shoot threes.
Yeah, well, yeah, 6'9 kid that can shoot, and we can throw him in the post once in a while just by default. But
get him in there and get that taken care of a little bit. But should talk about your fine assistant coaching staff. That's always doing a very good. You mentioned a few of the lower levels.
Yep, Coach Von Baron and Coach Martinson. Coach Brazzi's still with us. Does an amazing job, takes care of our defense, is always looking at tape, watching the other team and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do, here's what here's what we need to do here. We're backing off here. Does an amazing job. Is always honest with me. 9 years ago when I got the job and I said, will you be the assistant? He said, well, I'm going to be very honest and very truthful with you. And I said, that's fine. And he is. He's true to his word. He will tell me exactly what he's thinking, and that's all right. Sometimes that's needs to be said. And then we had Jason Marshall. We had 46 or 48 fresh sophomores out
come
November 14th. Yeah, it's good, but it created a problem because you can't expect one guy to have to deal with 26 or four kids. So we had Jason Marshall. I contacted him, and he was up at Center Point, lives in Marion. I said, can you just help us? And he said, I'm coaching 7th and 8th grade at St. Joe's, but that starts in January. I said, if you can give me 6 weeks, I'd appreciate it because there's just too much. So he came down for 6 weeks and did an amazing job helping out at both the fresh and sophomore levels. I always tell our kids and I tell our parents at the banquets and, you know, preseason meeting, I said, if you haven't thanked those four or five guys, please do so, because they really do an amazing job. They do what's right for kids. They hold kids accountable. They have high expectations for those kids. And in the end, I really hope our kids and parents appreciate what they do, because they do an amazing job.
Yeah, do a terrific job for the Indians. And, of course, earlier this week, the big news was that well, we knew Anamosa was leaving the WAMAC. They're going to go to the River Valley, and then Western Dubuque on Monday night. They voted to go to the Mississippi Valley Conference. So the WAMAC's going to have a yet another different look coming up in a couple of years anyway. And there's, if they stay at 14, which I think is probably going to happen, but who knows, there's a lot of speculation. You guys are actually going to move possibly to the East. So you get a whole new batch of teams to play more regularly than the other one.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a situation now where you say either two come in or no come in. So you're not unbalanced. We've been on the East before. If we go back to the East, we go back to the East. I don't know which makes more sense. Obviously, we could go. That's one. Center Point maybe could go. I don't know. Indy go? Is there a difference between Indy to DeWitt versus Indy to Williamsburg in terms of travel? It's six and one, half dozen of the other. It would eliminate, Beckman and West Delaware, and those teams would be having easier travel time with them in. So I don't know if any of that's even been figured out, because, until this week we weren't sure on West Dubuque. We knew Anamosa was gone, but we didn't know about West Dubuque. So, 14 teams will allow us to play everybody as far as basketball is concerned. So I am looking forward to at least saying, we now have a true conference champion, overall conference champion, because at this point with 16 teams, you can play your division, but you only get four of the other side. So everybody will be able to play everybody, and then you'll end up losing one non-conference game going forward.
Which is, ideal in this day and age, because it's getting so much tougher to find non-conference teams.
It is. We had to find one 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I had to call and talk to coaches and finally gave somebody a 20-second game just to say, will you just consider it and going forward? So it's tough to find them. Tough to find them.
Yeah, and, I know you got you play Washington, Iowa. You've had a nice run with Jefferson over the years, and I think it's been beneficial really to both teams.
Yeah, it has. We enjoy playing Jeff. It's always fun to play a 4A school, especially early on. Test where you're at. Those guys can show you a little bit more of where your weaknesses are at times. Different athlete that you usually see there versus the ones we see in the WAMAC. So we've always enjoyed playing Jeff and plan to obviously continue that. And then we play, Washington and Owine, or what we have right now for the other two nons. So our non-conference schedules is a nice schedule. I've been happy with it.
And we were speculating last night on how they're going to separate everybody for the tournaments, and we have no idea. You have no idea, I'm sure. You'll just go where they send you.
Yeah, wherever you go. I think that should come out
Yep.
2 weeks from Monday, and then the seed meetings will be another 10 days after that. So,
you getting your lawyer skills ready to go for that?
Yeah, I don't. We haven't gotten the protocol yet as to how all that'll work and who the facilitators will be and stuff like that. So, it'll be interesting because everybody will be in the same boat. You don't know going in what's expected to you. Maybe I should go sit in a wrestling seed meeting prior to that and see how some of these work. I don't know. So it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Well, Independence coming up on Tuesday night, and only four more home games, so people need to get out and see Marion basketball here.
Is that what we have, four more home games? Wow. When you're in January, it always seems like it's kind of grinding along, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, where'd that go? So
yeah, so we'll be out there on Tuesday night. Should be fun, and looking forward to it. Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, and that's going to wrap things up here for the Coach's Corner program on this Saturday morning. And don't forget, Iowa State and TCU coming up at 3:30 today. That'll be on 1600 AM for you. And then on 107.5 and 106.3 FM starting at 3 o'clock, it'll be NFL football, as it will be the doubleheader divisional play, starting off with Atlanta and Seattle from Atlanta, followed by the Patriots taking on the Texans, and that will be from Foxborough tomorrow, also at 3 o'clock with the doubleheader. It'll be Green Bay and Dallas, and then Pittsburgh going to Kansas City. For all our guests, Scott Unash saying so long. Thanks for listening to the Coach's Corner right here on KGYM, and have yourselves a great weekend.
This is the story of the shaving company called Harry's. In an epic battle of David versus Goliath, in the early